we generally have this guy's partner on much more than this guy. But I'm so happy to welcome Stephen Henderson. He's the founder of Bridge Detroit, host of American Black Journal on PBS, and co-author of the Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Should be must reading for everybody, but especially those in politics. Nolan Findlay and Stephen Henderson, along with Lynn Golodner. And what we're going to talk with, we'll talk with Stephen about anything he wants to talk about, but one of the things we're directing him toward is the redistricting battle that's heating up as more states are entering the fray. Just a couple weeks ago, Democrats felt increasingly emboldened about taking control of the House in November after seeming to fight the redistricting wars to a draw. But two court rulings, one by the Supreme Court and another by Virginia's top court, and an aggressive new push by red states to carve up congressional maps have delivered the Republican Party its biggest burst of momentum in many months. And I'm just going to ask you, Stephen, first of all, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. It's been a while.
Hey, Paul. Great to hear from you.
I just want to ask you if you could just give us your take on what redistricting is all about. Try to convince me and anyone else listening that it's not a way for either the Democrats or the Republicans to win votes without even caring about who the people want to vote for, it seems.
So, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about this, and I really want to make this point, there's a reason this isn't happening in Michigan. And it's because we as voters decided in 2018 to take this process away from politicians and give it to the people. And we saw that process play out in 2021 after the census. Now, was it a perfect process? I don't think anyone would say that. And there's some people who still, I think, are questioning, you know, how we can do it. But the fact that we have taken that step, I think, is an incredible lesson for the nation right now. I mean, these are very strange circumstances that are happening in places like Tennessee and Virginia. This idea of mid-decade redistricting, first of all, is somewhat novel. I mean, the idea that there was something wrong with the redistricting in 2020 that needs to be fixed, no one has really made, I think, the case, the empirical case for that. And then, of course, there's the overt partisanship that's involved here, right? In a state with heavy Democratic voters, they're just trying to wipe out all the Republican districts, and vice versa. We're seeing Republican states do the same thing to Democrats. But, you know, this is about rule making and line drawing, and that should be a blind process, at least when it comes to politics and when it comes to race and gender and these other things. And I feel like we should be shouting from the hilltops here in Michigan saying, hey, look at us. we took a huge step to do this in a different way, and it's working. I mean, it's working at least to keep us out of the fray of all of this other nonsense that we see going on.
So then tell me, Stephen Henderson, why I'm seeing in the news so much that there are those who are suggesting that all of this, or much of it, has to do with taking away Black voters' rights that they've had to fight hard to get. Is that it? Do you see it that way?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at a state like Tennessee, where they have carved Memphis, which is the sort of base of Black votes in that state. It's not a state with a ton of Black voters, but they do exist in that part of the state. And they've carved it up so that the voters there can't elect kind of their own representative, you know, right? Choose for themselves who will be in Washington for them. There's no question that is an assault on the progress that was made after the Voting Rights Act in 1965. I mean, we have about 148 majority-minority districts, as they call them, nationwide right now. That progress has come through a lot of effort to reverse the discrimination that took place for the first, you know, nearly 200 years of life in this country. Why we would go back to something else is I think beyond me. You know, they often frame this as a question about black voters and what they will do or what they can't do. I always want to frame it as much about white voters. So if you look at a place like Tennessee or a place like Virginia or a place like Michigan, it's very rare. It's even, just scarce to see a majority white congressional district elect an African American. Most of the African Americans who serve in the Congress come from districts where people mostly look like them. That's true of Latin voters as well and some other demographics. So the question really is, when will white voters open the doors to electing non-whites to represent them in Congress? I mean, most black people in this country are still represented by people who don't look like them, right? There's only 148 districts where they even have the chance, really, to do that. When do we get past the fact that race seems to define all of these choices, not just for black voters, but especially for white voters?
So where does this put the United States Supreme Court? In the hole that many people, at least on the Democrat side, the left side, whatever side you want to call it, that what they're saying about the Supreme Court is really bad right now. Do you hold them in the same low esteem?
Well, I don't love the rulings that they're issuing.
Right.
I think they are eroding precedents that matter. My biggest problem is that they seem to say, well, race is no longer a problem, and so we don't need these mechanisms to make sure that it doesn't influence decisions. But then when you bring them evidence that says, well, no, actually race still does matter quite a bit, and these mechanisms are what's fixing it, they say, well, you can't prove that. And it's almost like this idea of a brutal post-racial agenda, I guess, that they have, which is to sort of take away from African Americans the tools that the few tools we have to push back against the history in this country. So, that's really disappointing. And lots of these justices, of course, sat in front of the Senate during their confirmations and said they wouldn't erode precedents this way. I get that, they never quite nail people down on that, but it's just not the way it's supposed to work. And it leaves people with very few options. I mean, what are black voters supposed to do to make sure that they get representation? I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
We're out of time. Are you going to be up at Sandy Baruch Oz Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference?
Of course I will. And in fact, I want to plug this. We've got a Michigan Debate Commission together, a broad coalition of organizations, and we are going to hold a debate between the Senate Democratic primary candidates up there. We wanted to do governor as well. We couldn't get that one together.
All right.
But we are going to have a Senate debate up north. So
all right. We'll look forward to that. We'll cover it because we'll be up there. And then the final question is, what role did bourbon play in you and Nolan being good friends, Stephen?
If I had to put a percentage on it.
Hurry, I'm out of time.
35%, 40%.
Thank you. We continue on WJR.